Episode 142, BulaNetwork.com. Hey, welcome inside the Yellow Studio, kids. My name is Randy Cantrell, coming to you from Dallas, Fort Worth, Texas. Today is, it's the anniversary. It's September 11th, 2012. The topic today is the power of dread. We'll talk about it next. I need to get on a schedule. I need to get on a much better schedule, I realize, in releasing the podcast. And I would tell you that dread is one reason why I don't, but that would be a lie. I don't dread doing the podcast. I would also tell you that I didn't necessarily pick today, September 11th, 2012, this infamous anniversary of a horrible dreaded event to record the topic today. But it does seem fitting, doesn't it? There are people today, and for a number of years, I will freely tell you I was one of them, who dread today because of the fear that these terrorists would select today as a repeat performance. I know some people who were in New York City, who lived and worked in New York City on the day that these terrible things happened. And I don't know many of them whose lives weren't changed. Well, a terrifically powerful event, a horrific event. But I'm not talking about that kind of dread. I'm talking about the kind of dread when you look at your cell phone as it's ringing and you notice the caller ID and you think, oh man, I don't want to talk to them. That kind of dread. An email that you get from someone and the subject line, you just think, oh man, not again. And you have dread. It's politically not correct, but I don't care because I am a firm believer as a parent and a grandparent now. I am a firm believer in discipline in the home. I'm a firm believer in parental training and discipline of our kids. And I will put my now grown kids up against a whole lot of other grown kids as evidence that I know what I'm talking about. No, I didn't say abuse. See, and this is what happens. This is what happens. This is the high moron factor that kicks in. When people start saying, I believe in spanking children, I believe in discipline in the home, then wackos go just, they swing in the other end of the spectrum as though that you're advocating beating a child half to death. No, I'm not. Here was my tool, my discipline tool of choice. It was a very flexible plastic yellow, yeah, go figure, fly swatter. And it did have a little square notched out of the center of it to give the fly a sporting chance. I don't know what happened to it. I wish I still had it. And it didn't take either one of my kids very long to figure out that when Dad just held up the yellow fly swatter, it was time to rethink what I'm doing. Because you see, it was the dread of the fly swatter. It was the dread of that fly swatter striking their rear end or the back of their thighs. It was the dread of that that would compel them to straighten up. Work like a charm. Tell my kids when they were 3, 4, tell them that there's no power in dread. Oh, yeah, there is. Now, our reaction to dread can be one of two things. Well, we're going to keep it simple because I'm pretty simple. We can either, like my small children, that dread can compel us to behave, to do what's right, to be smarter, be wiser, make a better choice, fix something, course correct. Or it can cause us to just really embrace the dread and we go in a different direction. We turn even more rebellious. We turn even more wayward. We maybe go into a bottle. Maybe we go into drugs. Maybe we just stay in bed and we just pull the covers over our head. A person can experience chest pains. They can realize that they're carrying way too much weight and it's been way too long since they even walked, much less did anything consistently that would improve their aerobic health. They realize that their lifestyle is not the greatest, but come on, they're in grand company. Until they have really extreme shortness of breath, major chest pains, results in a trip to the emergency room. It results in a lot of tests. It results in a doctor sitting them down and saying, you're 11 months away from your next birthday. And if you don't lose 100 pounds and get a grip, you may not see 2 more birthdays. For some people, that news is so dreadful, they fix things. They straighten up. They make up their mind they're going to lose some weight. They make up their mind they're going to at least begin to eat more healthy. They're going to embrace a more healthy lifestyle. For others, forget you. I'm going to do what I want. And in the drive home, they stop by 2 or 3 fast food places and supersize 2 or 3 meals. What's going on here? What's the difference? Well, the difference isn't the dread. The difference is just the reaction to the dread. Their difference is just, are they going to do something in a positive way to deal with that dread? Or are they going to do something in a destructive, negative way to deal with the dread? I know. We want rainbows and rose-colored glasses, and we want all good news, and we want to think positive things, and we don't want to think about negative things. Truth of the fact is, we as a country, our government, the intelligence community, and law enforcement, the world that you and I live in today is very different than the world that was the original 9/11. And it's different because, armed now with this new information that people could come into our country and could pose as something that they're not, and could learn to fly airplanes, and could arm themselves with something so basic as a box knife that they could do such a horrific thing. Admittedly, our naivete died. And I know that there's something quite fond in being naive. There's something quite fond in believing that only the best will happen and believing that everybody just has the best of intentions. But the fact is, we live in a world where many people do not have good intentions. We live in a world full of hypocrites. We live in a world full of con men and fakes. It's just how it is. Oh no, I'm not depressed. I don't live every day in dread, and I don't prescribe that you should either. But we are living in a different world today, because now our government, our intelligence community, they took a look at the events of 9/11, and many of the things that were wrong then, primarily so many agencies of our government, unable to communicate with each other effectively, unable to share information together effectively, some of those things got addressed. Are they perfect? No, but they're vastly improved. We amped up security. It could be argued that it cost us a degree of our freedom, and because we are such a free country, and because we do have such open borders and open ability to travel, that we left ourselves vulnerable to this. But as a people, we still embrace that, and we still want that. It's a price that we're willing to pay. We are willing to have a degree of dread because we want to be free. It's a very different kind of dread than people who live under a dictatorship. Not having lived under one, I have no way of knowing, but I can, in my imagination, put myself in those situations and think, what about that dread? It's a very different kind of dread. I think the average American, I rather suspect, would rather have the dread we have and the accompanying freedoms that we have. What has this got to do with business? What has this got to do with us? It has everything to do with us. There are business people who every day face certain things that they dread, and they end every day full well knowing that they're going to get up again tomorrow, and they're going to dread those exact same things over. And they're going to get up the next day and dread them again, and the next day and again, and the next week, well, Monday rolls around, and it's just, you know, dread just amps up on Mondays. Why? Why are you living your life like that? The power of dread should be the same power that my now grown children, when they were 3 and 4, recognized when they saw a yellow fly swatter. It course corrected them. It helped them. It helped motivate and inspire them to behave better. That's what dread should do for us all. Dread should make us better. Dread should make us address those things that are causing us to fear dreadful, and to at least manage those things, if we can, eliminate them. There was a day that came, well, there wasn't a single day, but there was a time that came where my kids no longer saw the yellow fly swatter. The days of dreading the yellow fly swatter, they're over. Why? Did something happen to the yellow fly swatter? No, something happened to their behavior. They course corrected. They were obedient. They were respectful. They behaved themselves. Their conduct changed. The dreaded fly swatter had helped train them to be better people. I'm telling you that there are some things in your life that you dread, that they can serve that for you. Now, there are some other things that, okay, it's kind of a different animal. Now, let's talk about that. Let's first address, let's go in reverse order. Let's address, the phone rings, you look at the caller ID and you think, don't want to talk to him. Not again. Embrace that dread long enough to figure out why. What are you dreading? What's the issue here? Is it a boss? Is it a pain in the you-know-where customer? I don't know what it is, but whatever it is, there's a reason why you have the dread. Now figure it out. And it could be that, okay, are you working for a tyrant? And as you look down at the caller ID, that tyrant is the person calling you. What are you going to do about that? Well, as I see it, you got at least three choices. Maybe four, if you want to include just continue to live that life. That's an option. It's not a good option, but it is an option. A second option would be trying to figure out some way that you can lessen the dread. Why do you dread it? Maybe you dread it because they're constantly all over you and you just don't stand up for yourself. Maybe if you start standing up for yourself, you wouldn't dread it so much. It's just an option. I don't know. I'm not saying it's a good option, but it's an option. You could quit. Well, I'm not advising that option, not unless you got something to go to. But you could quit. You could decide that you're just going to grin and bear it, but you're going to go look. You're going to do everything you can to get out from under it as quickly as possible. That's probably a better option, by the way. But we look at it in that instance, we're looking at the phone and we just let this dread sweep over us. And I think for a lot of people, one of the things that comes into play here is just this whole sense of helplessness and hopelessness because we haven't pre-thought and we just think, I have no control. Irate customer, a tyrant boss, doesn't matter. And now I'm just a slave to this. No, you're not. No, you're not. It's your life. You make up your mind how you're going to respond to that. You make up your mind how you're going to react to that. Pre-think it. Embrace the dread long enough so that you can pre-think it. And so many times we just fail to do this. We just don't do this because we don't want to think about it because, well, we dread it. Okay, that's fine. But think about it. Now give it some thought, not in the moment, but think about it at the end of that phone call. Now think about how you felt when the phone first rang. And closely examine why you feel the way you do. And closely examine what are my options here? Before he or she calls me again next time, what can I do about it? How can I control how I respond? How can I control my emotions? What can I say? What can I do differently? What actions can I take? Admittedly, some things are beyond your control, but think about the things that you do control. And then get control of your dread. Now, for businesses, I know some folks who they dread certain things that happen in their business every day. And like a badge of honor, they tend to just think, well, it's just, you know, I'm fighting fires. Well, hey, what's going on? I'm fighting fires. Always fighting fires. It's just never going to be any different. It's always going to be this way. Yeah, okay. I mean, if that's how you want it. Well, no, that's not how I want it. It's just how it is. Well, okay. Why is it that way? Well, because it can't be fixed. Well, then you're just an idiot because somebody can fix it. Just because you can't fix it doesn't mean it can't be fixed. Now, you may not have made up your mind that you're going to fix it. You may have made up your mind that dread is just going to be part of your life. You're just going to every day, you're going to dread. I'm going to dread this. I'm going to dread that. And you can just go through life determined that you're going to be the most miserable person on the planet. That's up to you. The problem with that is there's a really high price to pay. Your business is going to pay a price. Your employees are going to pay a price. Your life's going to pay a price. Your family's going to pay a price. Everybody that knows you is going to pay a price. Congratulations. You're impacting a whole lot of people. It's a bad way to go. When I sit down with a business owner and we start examining the things that they do that they don't like to do, the things that they do that they dread, in many, 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 many cases, the things that they do that they dread are things that someone else can do. And for those people, it's not dreadful. It may be more to their skill set. It may even be something they look forward to doing, but the business owner, maybe the business manager, the control freak, thinks that they've got to do it, but they hate doing it. And guess what? It negatively affects everything else they do. The things that they do well, they don't do as well because they're living with this constant dread of the things that they don't want to do, the things they hate to do. In some cases, the dread is the shoe falling. The dread is the next fire that comes up. And instead of thinking about all of the smoldering embers that are scattered throughout their company, they're just waiting for another fire to erupt when they ought to be thinking, why are these fires even popping up to begin with? Where are these embers? Let's get these embers extinguished. It's as though it never crosses their mind to go looking for what's causing this. Where's the ignition point here in this fire? And trust me, fires have ignition points. In the real world and in the business world, there is not spontaneous combustion going on. But so many business owners tend to believe that I'm fighting fires. They just come up out of thin air, and there's not one thing we can do about it. Well, yeah, I beg to differ. Yeah, if you've got a bunch of empty paint buckets and you've got all kinds of flammable material and you've got any kind of ignition that could happen in the vicinity, oh, let's say electrical wiring, let's say a gas pilot light, it's just a matter of time. You know, these paint cans, they don't just suddenly explode. But we live in our businesses as though I'm just sitting here waiting for the phone to ring because I know it's going to happen. What's going to be the cause of it? What's going to be the precipitant thing that's going to make that ignition happen? Something's going to happen. Stop it. Stop it before it happens. When you look back to the dreaded event of 9/11, our government now looks back, and we all look back now, because 2020 hindsight is, well, it's quite clear. There are things that we could have done different. There are things that our country has since done differently. Any of us who had experience flying on airplanes prior to 9/11, it's a very different experience now. We remember the days of, man, you know, getting on a plane was just pretty easy stuff. And now look at us. We are accustomed to security lines. We're accustomed to X-ray machines. We're accustomed to, you know, the wand around our body, or perhaps worse. We're acclimated to that now because in our naivete, well, that's what we did. But then this horrible, dreaded fire did erupt, a literal fire. And it took lives and it terrified us. And we dealt appropriately with it by saying, we're not going to let that happen again. Not if we can help it. Why don't you do that in your life? Why don't you do that in your business? Why do you live every day with dread of anything? Okay, your life isn't going to be perfect. Life isn't rainbows and the pot of gold at the end of every rainbow. It's not. Bad things are going to happen. Dread is going to visit your life. But I'm talking about habitual, perpetual, constant, ongoing. I dread this, and I dread it every single time it happens. Well, stop it. Stop it. Stop it from happening if you can. If you can't, then get busy working and developing a plan so you can stop it. You got a job you hate, you dread going? No, don't sacrifice yourself and your family. get up tomorrow and dread it less because you know you're working a plan to get away from there. You got a problem, customer? Why? Have you done something that you can fix? Is there something that you can do better that would make that less dreadful? Are they just miserable human beings? Then fire them. Do your dead level best, reach a point and say, we're done. And then send them to your arch rival. Send them to your competitor. It's the very best thing you can do for your business when you have a problem customer. But don't live every day dreading the phone call. Make plans. Enact plans to remedy the situation. Now, I'm not saying that you can just, with a magic wand, remedy everything in one fell swoop. You can't. But what you can do is you can embrace the dread long enough to enact a plan to deal with it, to either remedy it, to eliminate it, or to better manage it. And you might have to enact a plan that can do all three in phases. You might just have to manage it for a while until you can enact a plan to get rid of it. That's a vast improvement over where you're at, though, isn't it? Sure it is. Our reaction to the dread in our life is something that can be a powerful motivator to help us do better. The yellow fly swatters that represent the dread in our life can make us better. They can improve us if we'll embrace them, if we'll let it. But if we're going to continue to get up every day and be stupid and be foolish and continue to make the same idiotic decisions that we've made and continue to just live in this life of constant dread, we're just going to be bitter, miserable human beings. Your life is too valuable. What you bring to the party, what you offer the world is too valuable. It's too priceless for you to waste yourself with that constant negative emotion. Don't load up in bed. Don't go to drugs. Don't go to alcohol. Don't go to immoral party lifestyle. Don't do the things to just not have to face the dread. Sit down in a quiet moment and just stare dread in the face. Gain a better understanding of why you're experiencing this dread and devise a plan to remedy it. You can do that. We can all do that. And we can all do a better job of it. Hey, thanks for giving me about half an hour of your time and your life. I greatly appreciate it. I have now done two videos. I've done two videos and I've gotten favorable response, I will say. I appreciate the feedback. All of you who are on the list, on the newsletter list inside the Yellow Studio, if you care to join that list, you don't have to, but I'd like for you to, because I'd like to send you these things that I'm doing only for people that are on the list. Just at the website, go to the upper right-hand corner and then that box, plug in your name and email address, and I will make sure that you get included. I have, in fact, today, this morning, I sent out the second video exclusively for folks on the list. I've gotten some great feedback, and I'm going to start addressing some of the feedback that I've gotten. I'm going to start answering some questions, and that's the good thing. I'm getting feedback, and I'm interested in your story. I'm interested in hearing more about you. So if you care to join that list, I would love for you to do that, and I'd love to learn more about you, and I'll make sure that you get some special things. I do have a second call to action, and that is go over to iTunes. If you just click that link, click the iTunes link over there on the right-hand margin of the website, any page of the website, click that. It'll take you to iTunes. I know it's a little bit cumbersome, but leave me a review, won't you? Leave me a 5-star review, especially. I would be very grateful for that. I'll include you here at the website. You see those testimonials over on the right-hand side? Now, not all of those are iTunes, but some of them are. And I will put you there. If I know who you are and if I know your website, I'll put a link. And if you'll email me some little thumbnail image, I'll include that too. So there you go. It's a good way to promote yourself. Good way to promote me. Listen, it's about us impacting as many people as we can. It's about us getting the message out. It's about us. Yeah, it's about being heard for sure, but it's about having a positive impact on people. My name is Randy Cantrell. This is the Yellow Studio.